Hello, grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for April 29th, 2017. I'm Paul White. I'm glad to be with you today as we are journeying through the book of Romans. However, we're taking a little time out right now to, for those of you who are our more astute listeners, who have really good memories, or are just part of our close or extended family, you might recognize April 29th as a special day on Paul White's calendar. That's because today is Natasha's birthday. My lovely wife turns, well, I won't tell you. Today is her special day. She's a faithful listener to the DDP. And though her and I share a wonderful weekend together, I also want to let everybody else know how proud I am of her and to greet her on this her special day. So I appreciate those of you who always send her kindness, as so many of you do, through your emails or your letters, because I think you recognize how special she is to me and our family, and how unbelievably important she is to this ministry. She handles so many things behind the scenes, making my job a little bit easier, and of course, that pays off for everyone who gets to hear the good news. So happy birthday to my babe. Also, want to make a quick announcement. Coming up in 2 days, on May the 1st, we go back to our fairly new format. We've only done this 1 month, and that was in the month of April. At the very beginning of the month, we had a guest. We're going to do that again. We had Steve Tanton with us for the first 2 days of the month of April. We are having a new guest with us on the first 3 days of the month of May. His name is Sloan Parker. And I'll give you all of his info at the beginning of the podcast on May 1. He'll be with us May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and we talk about a fascinating subject to me. It builds off a little bit of where we were last month with our guest. I'm talking about Israel and her place in the timeline of covenant, both prophetically and in fulfillment. And we go into some great, great stuff. You don't want to miss it. I'm excited about what I think it's going to mean to our audience. And so get in there and get ready to go on the first 3 days of the month of May. Now, for today and tomorrow, we are in the third verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, and we may get out of the third verse today, not quite sure. One of the big important things to remember about verse 3 is its connection to it, to the greater theme of the first 3 verses. Remember, this chapter begins by Paul declaring that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And then in that third verse, we find out why there's no condemnation. It's one thing to tell someone they're not condemned. But if you're like me, you've come up in the church, maybe you don't even believe that. They say you're not condemned, and you think, well, if I could keep from sinning, I wouldn't be condemned. That was what I thought. I would say, well, yeah, I'm not condemned if I haven't done anything wrong. But the moment I do something wrong, boom, I'm condemned. And Paul has to deal with not only the no condemnation, but the why there is no condemnation. So again, I don't think it's enough to just leave people at, hey, here's God's grace, here's what it looks like. You have to show them how it happened. And I think that's what Paul meant when he talked about preaching the cross. Not only was he redeeming the cross as a symbol of victory instead of a symbol of horrific defeat, he was also saying that if you're going to get people to understand how good the good news is, you're going to have to show them. And I think that's why in Romans 5:8, he says, and you'll remember this from our study together, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's God showing off. That's another way to say that in the Greek, putting on display. God puts on display his love for us by dying on the cross. He has to show you why you're not condemned. So how do you know you're not condemned? Because in Romans 8:3, last part of the verse, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So notice that, and I know I'm working it backwards. I'll work the first half of the verse tomorrow. I don't know. Sometimes I just like to do that. Really, I know why I'm doing it, because that condemnation at the end of the verse connects so tightly to verse 1 that I don't think you can really get the fullness of no condemnation without knowing that there already has been a condemnation. It's sort of like you don't have to die for him. He's already died on your behalf. So you don't have to be under condemnation. He's already been condemned on your behalf. Notice God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus doesn't come as a sinner, but he comes in the likeness of our flesh. So whatever you experience in your physical body, he could experience in his physical body. Okay? Yearning, longing, hunger, pain, all of those things. And he came on account of sin. So why he was here was on account, or to the account of sin, for the cause of sin. And what did he do? On the other side of that colon in verse 3, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Christ wasn't condemned. Sin was condemned in Christ. That I think this might help resolve some of the battles over what's going on at the cross. I probably am overstating that. Resolve some of the battles? Who am I to resolve some of the battles? A lot of times I don't think we want the battles resolved. They give us purpose, which is silly, but gives some people a reason to read the Bible. I think if we would just stop and realize that Christ wasn't condemned at Calvary, sin was condemned at Calvary, and what sin did to man, and what sin, how it affected man, and how it punished man, how it paralyzed man, all of that, how it gave man a sense of isolation from God. Christ had that condemned in his body on the cross. By having that condemned in him, how can it possibly be condemned in you? Now sneak ahead to verse 34. And I'm not going to try to really resolve the 34th verse, because that's 31 verses away. And at our pace, that's a month of teaching, okay? But I do want you to see this and dwell on it a little bit before we get there. 34 of chapter 8. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We'll deal with the grammatical problems with this in more detail when we arrive, but it gives the indication, because of that interpolated word, it is. Notice the italicized, it is. It is Christ who died. Those words don't belong. It's really a rebuttal answer to the question, who can condemn you? And then it's not like he's saying Christ is the one that condemns, but rather, who can condemn you? Christ has died and furthermore is risen. He sits at God's right hand. He makes intercession for us. So Paul's actually answering his own question by saying, how could you be condemned? Christ has died, risen from the dead, sits at God's right hand, and intercedes for you. In other words, he's answering in verse 34 the argument he established in verses 1 and 3 of chapter 8. And what were the arguments? You're not condemned because you're in Christ. Christ had sin condemned in his flesh. So how could someone ever condemn you in light of the fact that Christ has died, has risen, is at God's right hand, and makes intercession for you and me? So don't ever buy into the lie again that you are condemned. How can you be condemned since your sin has been condemned in Christ? Now, we dealt with the latter portion of the third verse today. We go backwards and deal with the first half tomorrow to try to bring all of this together before we transition into verse 4. We'll see you then. God bless.